8 o'clock on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with Brandon Lee, co-founder of Training for Transformation, about the book Best Practices in Community Conscious Policing, a reflection on law enforcement community building workshops. At 9 o'clock, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Demay Roberts, author of the new book, The Letting Go Trilogies, Stories of a Mixed Race Family. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, host S.W. Conzer focuses on the Northwest Animation Festival with John Summerson, the director of the short film Deers, and Sean Donnelly and Alessandro Minoli, creators of the Trip Tank series Jeff and Some Aliens. Thank you so much, KBOO members, for your support in our recent successful membership drive. We appreciate each and every one of you.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station.
My name is Jenny Yokoyama, and tonight we're talking with KMUN Board President Roger Rock. Thanks for coming in, Roger.
You're welcome.
KMUN board members and staff have visited KBOO several times to kind of learn about our process. And so, Roger, why don't you tell us about your station, KMUN?
Well, first of all, I'd say we have good reason for coming here to visit because KBOO was instrumental in getting KMUN started 30-some years ago. It was a group of people in the community who felt like we needed a community station and began to look around to see how that might be accomplished. And KBOO stepped right in and offered assistance in terms of programming, engineering, everything that we needed to learn about in order to get a station on the air, and helped with the process of going through the FCC. And so we owe a lot to KBOO.
So for those who are unfamiliar with KMUN, where are you guys located out of?
We are in Astoria, Oregon, right on the northwest tip of the state. Astoria is on one side of Young's Bay and Warrenton's on the other. And we actually now have stations licensed on each side. We have KMUN licensed to Astoria, and then we have a second station, KCPB, which does classical music, which is licensed to Warrenton. So we're operating two stations from inside our building. And then one of the stations is repeated down in Tillamook, Oregon, as KTCB.
So how many volunteers and how big is KMUN compared to, say, KBOO?
Well, smaller, and we have a much smaller population base to draw from. Astoria is about 10,000 people. Our whole area is maybe about 30,000 in the county. But we have a lot of on-air volunteers. We have about 130. You know, some of them may only do a show once a week, or I do one once a month. I'm really lazy. But others are doing it, you know, on a weekly basis or sometimes even daily. You have many, many more, though, not on-air volunteers. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about while we're here and learn more. How do you recruit those volunteers? How do you make sure that they're happy and enjoying their experience and getting something out of it?
What kind of roles are you guys looking to fill when you look around here on KBOO and you say, wow, there's a lot of non-on-air people? What roles do you see that KMUN needs to fill?
Well, when you listen to radio, you hear the people who are on the air, but behind those people are many, many other people. For example, when you walk in the building, there's a front desk, and someone has to be at the front desk to direct traffic and to field phone calls and usually to do other things like billing or something else. And so every step of the way in engineering and keeping the equipment running and keeping the transmitter operating and so on, often in community radio, you'll have a staff member. In a really big community station, you may have two, you know, in the engineering department, but you need volunteers to help get things done. And that's true just all across the board. It's like any other business. You have, you know, in a sales business, you have the people who are the salesmen, and then you have lots and lots of other people who are doing the other tasks in the business.
So what is your programming like at KMUN?
Eclectic, I think it would be the word I would use, similar to yours in a way. I think
also it's good programming.
It's
then.
Good programming. Well, and you have a very values-driven kind of programming here, and we love that concept. And after I heard about it, I started thinking about our own programming. And we don't actually articulate that in the same way. We don't say, you know, values-driven programming, but it turns out that way, maybe because birds of a feather tend to flock together. So, depending on what time of the day you tune in, you can hear anything from jazz to rock to old standards to talk. So we're doing all kinds of things across the board. One thing we are doing differently, though, is that we still carry NPR programming. And we're having lots of debates on that on our board, whether we should be continuing to do that or not. And there is another source in our market now for NPR because OPB has a repeater in the market. So that's something that we debate frequently.
What do you think you'd be replacing from your NPR content? Will you be producing your own original content?
Well, you've just hit on the central part of the argument, and that is what do you do in place of that? And it ought to be news. In our estimation, and to do a good job with news, you need quite a few people who are devoted to doing that, both staff members and volunteers. And so we would need to build up that critical mass before we could even think about doing that.
We can completely understand here in the KBOO newsroom, it takes dozens of volunteers to be able to produce a daily newscast. It's quite an undertaking.
Right. Well, a long, long time ago when radios were still made out of stone and so on, that's what I did for a living for about 17 years. So I'm very devoted to having a decent news department.
Well, I just have to ask, what is your show that you host?
I host a once-a-month show called The Human Beat, and it's kind of an eclectic show that kind of picks out different things in the community, different people, different pieces of history, different events that might deserve a little attention. I have interviewed people like, a Chinese man who became very well respected and loved in the community, and the seafood center was named after him and so on, because he helped invent, for one thing, he helped invent the, when you buy imitation crab, that comes from a fish that wasn't marketable for a long time, and he invented a way to do that, to utilize that protein, and a whole new industry developed out of that. But when he was a kid, he worked in the canneries at a time when the Chinese were really treated badly, would be saying it very modestly. And the young men who worked in the canneries then had to actually live in dormitories on site. They weren't allowed to live in town and so on. And he talked about his experiences there.
Does he live out in Astoria?
He does, yeah, or did. He's died since then. He was already a man in his 80s when I spoke to him some years ago. But to see that transition from being a person who was really shunned in a way because of his race to someone who became a prominent citizen was a great story to tell. Most recently, I interviewed, in fact, yesterday, a bunch of kids from our alternative high school. To have them tell their stories about how they came to be there and how that differs from regular high school and what it gives them that the regular high school doesn't. And their conclusion from all of this was that every high school actually ought to operate like theirs does, because it just is so much more focused on the student than most high schools can be, because we have these huge class sizes and so on, and you have to sympathize with a teacher who's dealing with 30 or more students and trying to give individual attention.
Well, your story really emphasizes to me why community radio is so important, because you're telling those stories that are really local to your community.
Right.
How has your community responded to KMUN?
Oh, very well. We actually enjoy being the most listened to station in the market, and that makes us feel really good.
Do you find it easy for you guys to recruit volunteers?
Yes and no. Again, we have on-air volunteers who we've had for a long time, and a lot of people who are interested in doing that. So that part is the easier part. Some of the other jobs at the station, we need to learn how to make them more fun, I think, in order to have people want to stay for years and years instead of, you know, 6 months or 1 year or whatever.
How many staff do you have there at KMUN?
Five or six. Not many. I'm paid staff, you're talking about. We have a general manager, a program director, a development director, a chief engineer. Who else do we have? There's one other I'm forgetting. But we're right there in the five or six range. So obviously not that many paid people.
Very similar to Cable. So you have staff who are really having to manage lots of people and putting in lots and lots of hours. But I'm sure your volunteers very much appreciate it, because I know I do here at Cable.
Well, the volunteers are great because they take some of that burden off the staff. But yes, all of them are very good at juggling many different balls at the same time. I think that's sort of the name of community radio. No one gets into community radio because they want to get rich. Or famous, for that matter.
There's the statement.
you do it because it's something that you believe in. You know, it's a way to speak the truth and to not be beholden to any commercial interests. And, it's a rare privilege, a rare place to work from.
So what projects do you guys have at KMUN that you're working on right now? Or what's coming up for you guys?
Well, one of our big ones is, lots of our equipment is would be good on the Antiques Roadshow, and so we are working to replace lots and lots of our equipment, and we're able to do some maintenance and so on that helps, and most of our programmers are delighted now that the lights on the board light up again, because it's a little harder to tell where you are when they're not. So those kinds of things we can do. But we really need to do really an upscaling of all of our equipment there. You wouldn't know it listening. I mean, we're doing okay with what we've got. But, that stuff has a lifespan. And eventually you need to replace it.
So how can the community help you guys out with that project? I'm sure, obviously, at the heart of that is a lot of funding. How can people support KMUN if they want to?
Well, one of the things we asked about here was how you fund your equipment, and much of it comes from grants. Something that we wrestle with, and I think many community stations do, is where funding comes from. And we all do pledge drives and so on. And we have lots of people who are loyal and consistent, and they come through every pledge drive that we have. But when you need extra money for something like equipment or so on, I mean, those people are giving what they can afford to give. You can't say to them all of a sudden, okay, give three times as much. You know, if they could, they would. So you have to look for other ways to bring in that revenue. And we're looking for grants for one thing. We're looking for whether we can expand with events in the community that people would be interested in coming to and supporting. It's one thing a board does, is you take a look at your financial needs and try to solve them as best you can.
Yeah, I always love when I look at all of our boards and I think, well, I'm just learning, from back before the digital times. I'm thinking that I'm just getting a foundation of my learning. Because you can't be quite as lazy. You can't put in digital cues and whatever
right.
with mixing boards. You have to do it all yourself.
It's right.
I like to think of old equipment as the hands-on experience.
It is. And in the final analysis, the skills that you are developing as a broadcaster are skills that will transcend any kind of equipment. The equipment is the tool, and it's you and your skills that make the program.
Is KMUN similar to KBOO that it's offering radio as a learning environment for the community?
We do, actually. We have our program director is doing classes for students in which they produce their own community affairs programming and so on, and it's a learning opportunity for them. And, of course, anytime anyone is going to be a programmer like here, they have to go through a training and a period of time when, the program director is watching very carefully what they're doing and offering critiques and so on to help them develop the skills they need to be good.
How many volunteers do you think you've seen come through your doors over the last few decades?
Oh, it would be probably in the thousands over that period of time. As I say, we've been there for over 30 years now. And so there are many, many people in the community who are loyal supporters, who are actually KMUN alumni, because they worked there at one time, you know, early on in the radio experience. We do have one guy, though, who is still there and still does a program, who was the very first voice heard on KMUN when we first went on the air. And he's quite a character, and we're glad to have him.
That's some programmer loyalty right there.
It is.
Is there anything else that I didn't ask you about that you'd like to share with us about KMUN?
Well, I got a kick out of the way you opened the program by saying this was from the Boo.
Yeah, we're News from the Boo.
News from the Boo. And I thought, how would we do that? Because with KMUN, we would be News from the Moon, and that probably doesn't work too well.
Or it sounds like, wow, these guys, what technology do they got? They must have got a super
really
grant.
Out there.
That's Roger Rocca. Thank you very much for coming into News from the Boo.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you.
It is 6 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is the proud co-sponsor of the World Beat PDX monthly series featuring Wamba on Thursday, May 12th at the Analog Cafe in Portland. Wamba plays percussive jazz and funk with a strong World Beat influence and will be playing two sets that evening. Again, that's Wamba on Thursday, May 12th at the Analog Cafe, 720 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.